Black and Gold podcast presented by Boston Sports Syndicate. A Bruins podcast. Nope. I said it backwards. Hold on.
Start over.
Jesus Don't put Christ. That on the YouTube. We'll put that on the outtakes. Welcome back to the Bleed Black and Gold podcast, a Boston Bruins podcast presented by Boston Sports Syndicate. It's a lot of Bostons in there. Michael Travers bringing it to you. Also alongside me, I have Mr. Wabba Plays. Wabba, welcome. How goes the world of Wabba Plays?
It goes. It goes and it's good. Your boy is going to be doing, I should have brought that thing, another 5K. This time presented by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Is it a virtual 5K?
It is. I'm gonna go somewhere.
No. By that I mean, like, do you do it on your treadmill or?
I'm doing it on the treadmill. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to see anyone. But just know that I'm gonna beat them in their 5K, just like the Bruins beat them the other day on the ice. That's what I was getting at.
Oh, look at you go.
Saved it.
Way to bring it all full circle. Proud of you. I'm proud you even knew that they played the Lightning the other day. I'm actually proud. really proud of you. Also, third chair, Mr. Ryan Daly. Ryan, what's going on with you, Mr. YouTube only now?
Not too much. Actually, just recorded two new YouTube videos prior to doing this. So I'm going to be working on editing those this week and getting them up for for everyone to go check out and watch and enjoy.
So if I'm not mistaken, and believe me, I've been mistaken before once or twice.
Typically mistaken.
Once or twice, not many times, but a couple of times I've been wrong. But I believe that our Boston Sports Syndicate YouTube finally surpassed 100
subscribers.
What are they called? Subscribers.
Subscribers.
But here's the problem: I don't know how to change the link. I'm gonna have to figure that out. I'm not gonna do it right now, but I'm gonna have to figure that out. So because now they know after 100, you can customize your link. And you'd be able to visit us at youtube.com/BostonSportsSyndicate. But instead, you're going to have to go to – I believe Ryan's going to post a video, he said, right here. So after you're done listening, listen to it in its entirety. Maybe listen to it on Spotify and iTunes and then go to YouTube. And you can find it on Ryan's YouTube. Do you have a custom link?
Yep, youtube.com/BigCountry7914.
Look at this guy.
Oh, yeah, we're official. We're legit.
Can we have like a poll on Twitter or something to name our – YouTube channel up, for YouTube? The Boston Sports Syndicate.
Can we what?
Well, I can't. I don't know. Just name it something fun, something silly, something with bad SEO, but something for the memes.
Other than Boston Sports Syndicate? Then how are people supposed to find you, Wabba? All right. You know what? Let's do this. You change your YouTube channel off of Wabba Plays to something funny, okay?
The hardest of choices require the strongest of wills.
Oh, my God. Who said that?
Thanos?
Tyrion Lannister? Who said that?
Thanos did.
I'm lost.
That would have been my son. Thanos? You know who Thanos is?
I know who Thanos is. Sorry, I haven't caught up. No spoilers, please.
Spoilers? The Endgame came out 15 years ago at this point. What are you talking about, spoilers?
Hashtag Thanos is right.
I was on a little bit of a streak during first quarantine of COVID of watching all of them. I got to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then I kind of fallen off.
Well, look at me. I'm Big Country. I talk to girls, and I don't watch Marvel movies. Big nerd.
Talk to girls.
Sick flex.
Yeah. We get it, dude.
The married guy over here talking to girls. I'm not talking to anybody.
Careful. People's wives listen to this.
Mine doesn't.
What's that?
Mine doesn't either. She used to, when me and my wife used to, like, listen to them together in the car, and she would just, like, argue with me, but my voice, and I'm like, I feel like I'm being attacked, like, that was obviously my cool fart take, but like that was from like a week ago. Like I didn't do that.
Wait, does she bring hockey knowledge to the table? Should we have her come on for a show instead of you, like in lieu of you?
Likely. Well, I would have to be here one because, I can't let her show me up. most importantly, but two, also she doesn't know how to work my computer.
Well, you can just be like the producer behind the scenes figuring it out, and then we can let her take the mic. Yeah.
Likely, she knows more than me.
Oh, this is happening.
I talk more.
Oh, 100%.
But she probably knows more actual things.
This is happening.
Queen,
you know,
Queen of the North is definitely coming on.
You know when this will happen? This will be like during the off season. When we need content, because you know it's the dog days of summer, and we're still trying to keep the Bleed Black and Gold crew going. So we need to get some content. We'll have, oh my God, this is all coming to me now. We'll have a trivia. We'll have Bruins trivia between Wawa and Queen of the North.
There's not a chance I win, but I will answer every question like I know that it's right, just to try to convince you.
Oh my, this will be on Twitch, and you will do this. Yeah. We'll do this.
We'll broadcast it both live on Twitch and YouTube.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it. We're doing it. It'll 100%. It'll be Bruins trivia since 2017, maybe.
Okay. All right. Good. No.
When did they go to the Cup? 2019? We'll do 2019, since the last Cup run.
Okay.
Right? It was 2019. They played the Blues.
Yeah.
We'll do the 2019 to present. So this will be the 19, 20, 21, 22 season.
All right. I'll have to brush up on my knowledge. And by that, I mean I'll probably just think about going to Wikipedia.
We're going to get to work in here. The Discord DMs.
Yeah,
out.
Right.
We're going to figure out if we want to do Jeopardy style. Or if we want, how we want to do this. We're going to figure
it
out.
You can honestly put it in the main channel and I'll probably miss it.
True. I mean, Wawa doesn't look at it unless we tag him.
That's true, yeah. Highest maintenance guy with the lowest takes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right?
Unbelievable.
Like I said, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Anyway, maybe we should talk about some Bruins before we get going. Actually, no. Spoiler alert. I just recorded, and ironically, I talked about this while I was recording the last podcast, but I just recorded the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast, and I asked Bill on that podcast, and I want to ask you guys and get your opinion about this. So if you're listening to the Bleed Black and Gold podcast, also go listen to the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast, because that's where I give my takes. The NHL announced that they will not be going to the Olympic Games. I asked Bill his take on it because he doesn't like hockey particularly, but he does watch Olympic hockey. And now you two as hockey guys, I want to get your opinions. I'll start with Ryan. When you first heard it, what were your thoughts? What was your initial reaction? What are your thoughts now that it's been some time since it came out?
So there was a lot of rumblings, prior to, Gary Bettman coming out and actually saying that the NHL players weren't going to the Olympics. At first I was kind of bummed, because it's definitely more exciting seeing the NHL players, and they definitely get more recognition because it's players that they recognize. And the Olympic hockey, I watch Olympic hockey anyways because it's a lot of fun. It's good to see these countries go against each other. It's good to see the US-Canada rivalries. But a lot of times, if you're not paying attention to the U18 or the CHL, the junior programs, you're not really going to know too many of these players that are playing. But if it was the NHL players, you would recognize a little more. So at first I was a little bummed, but I understand it because the way the Olympics, correct me if I'm wrong here, is being set up is that the Olympic athletes need to quarantine 14 days prior to the Olympics starting.
That I don't know. I know if they test positive, there's a 21-day period that they have to stay quarantined. I think that was the big thing, is that if they tested positive while in Beijing, that they would have had to – it's a 21-day quarantine.
There's no way you can ask these NHL players to quarantine for 21 days – while their season is going on. Not even the players, let alone the owners and the management and the coaches of these teams are going to be okay, if you test positive, especially the way COVID is ramping through the NHL right now anyways, which we can get into more of that in a little bit, there's no way that was going to fly. So, I feel like it was, the domino pieces were just falling and this was going to happen anyways.
Wabba.
I'm of the... Bradley half-nosed Marchand school of thought, where it's kind of silly that they fought so much to play in the Olympics that the NHL was willing to shut down the league for 3 weeks, and then when it comes time, they're like, no, we'd rather just not, we're just gonna neg on that decision we made together. It's people, very premier athletes, Ovi, Crosby, I'm going to say it, Chara, probably their last chance is to play in the Olympics. And that's taken away from them because I know, obviously, there's a pandemic going on. Let's, not doubting that, but you know, they're more than happy to throw these guys into games every day, put them at risk, and then carry a taxi squad now. Why is there a concern with the taxi squad later? They're willing to do it now, so why can't they do it during the Olympics? And I saw what Marchand wrote, and I thought he was right. And a lot of people who don't like him or like Boston agreed with him. You know, he's like, if we need to pay, we'll pay. Like, if it's about the money, like, they can handle that. But for whatever reason, it seems like a power move that's not letting them go, in my opinion.
So when you come prepared for a podcast, you have the exact tweet that you want to reference. And the tweet was from Marchand, and it says, the NHL and the NHLPA can change the rules of the CBA to add a taxi squad so that they don't miss any games and don't lose any money, which has already been agreed upon that the players will pay back in escrow until the owners are made whole from what they have lost during the pandemic, regardless of how many games are missed. Yet, they can't do a taxi squad during the Olympics so they can honor the agreement they made with NHL players can go to the Olympics. Please tell me that's not BS. And for all of you who want to pipe back about forfeiting pay while being gone, yeah, not a problem. Let the players make their choice. I 1,000% agree with him. 1,000% agree. Allow the players to make the choice. And that's exactly what I said on the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast. And Bill said, well, it's unfair to the team. It's unfair to the, you know, it's unfair. You're under contract. You made a commitment to the team. And, you know, you should play in the games that your team is scheduled. Which I don't necessarily disagree with, and I understand this from a business aspect. I understand this. I understand them not going to the Olympics because of the business of the NHL. But at the same time, Marchand's 100% correct here.
Mm-hmm.
100% correct. They had to go sit in a bubble for months. Had to give up time from their families. Couldn't see their kids. Couldn't see their wives. Couldn't see their girlfriends. Couldn't see the sugar mamas. Couldn't see anybody. Because the NHL decided that they wanted to keep playing their games and keep making their money. Now, they didn't get as much money, of course. But they still got their TV money. They still got their revenue. They still got all that. And I 100% agree with Marchand. And I think that the players should be allowed to make the choice. And you talk about the Chars and the Crosbys and those kind of players. I looked at it more from, like, the Pasternaks, who were too young the last time that the Olympics came around, and he didn't play in the Olympics when the NHL players were allowed to play because he was 14.
Oh. God, 14, don't say that.
Something like but that.
You know I feel mean? Like so, every time now, the Olympics come by, they always try to find a way to screw the players. Like every
they don't
single
they
time.
They don't want to pause the league.
Of course they don't, but like it's like if they didn't screw them before, I'd probably be more understanding now, like, hey, you know, we want to do this, but we can't. It's like every time the Olympics come up, they're like, it's like... They have to fight about it every single time. It's like, I've seen this before. And now they have the, it's like, oh, the pandemic's here. Guess what? We have an out now. Like, I feel like they're just using that.
They already set the precedent on how they feel about letting the players go and play. And I bring it back to, remember when they had the lockout? Remember Ovechkin was going to sit out the year that the Olympics were so that he could play?
Yeah.
Just so he could play for his country? Like, to me, these guys are like, Yes, they're going to be multimillionaires by the end of their career. Yes, they're going to, a lot of them are going to play hundreds of games. The guys who are playing on the Olympic level are going to play hundreds of games in the NHL because that's they're just the best in the world. And I think that playing for your country is probably more important to going over and being able to wear your country's colors for 3 weeks is probably more important than playing games in January or February where you're going to be back, assuming you don't get hurt, assuming health. That you come back and you then can have your team down the you can be with your team down the stretch and then for a playoff run should your team be good enough to get in, but like I said the Pasternak was too young the last time he came around. Now he's in his prime. Now he's not going to be able to play for another 4 years if they even allow it at that point. He's going to be pretty close to out of his prime at that point, and he's never going to be able during the prime of his playing career be able to represent his country because the NHL is being selfish. I mean, when Marchand brings up the taxi squad and that stuff, he's 100% correct. It's about the dollars, and Ryan even said, he said it's about the money, and that's that they don't want to lose the money, they don't want to give up the money, and I get it. Continue the league, let the players make that choice. Yep. You have a billion players on your roster in the AHL. Put the taxi squad. Let Trent Frederick get more games played. They're gonna get him maybe get him some prime marquee minutes, and let your players go play those who want to.
And imagine you're on some crap bag team right now, and you're like, you know, well, you said everyone can wear their colors, Russia can't. They're true. The whatever United Olympic athletes.
Yeah, at doping scheme.
But but like, imagine like you're like, I don't have an example, obviously, because, you know, I prepare. But, like, imagine, like, your Phil sandwiches Kessel. And, you know, you want one last go before, you know, you ride off onto the great hot dog in the sunset. And he can't play for the U.S. because he's, you know, because of this. But he's in Arizona. Like, they have no chance of making it. Now, I know that only applies to a certain number of teams. But it's still, you know, a factor. You know, there are these players that have probably been looking forward to it. I'm going to... You know, I'm sure Giordano is probably a bit, you know, big name. But all these older players, it's like this is it for them.
Yeah, they've already been deprived of it. There's probably a lot of players that might have been fringe guys then, and now they'd be superstars, and they'd be able to grow their own name on the world stage, and now they can't.
Yeah,
or they won't even get to play. Period. You know, like I don't know. I just think that the NHL it should really be up to players, and if the owners want to take paychecks from them, okay.
Oh, they're willing to give it up. But Marchand's like, I got it.
yeah, Marchand's like, I don't care. Like, Marchand wants to play for Team Canada. Do you blame him? Like, he'd be, you know, if he has a chance to go over there and play with Crosby and Bergeron again, you kidding me? Like, it just, I don't know. It just seems like it's to the NHL, they could and arguably should look at it as, you know what, this is going to be a good marketing tool for us because our best players are going to be on a world stage. And people who don't watch hockey watch the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about – this is what I talked about on the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast. Just think about the biggest Olympic – your biggest Olympic memory aside from 1980 because none of us were alive. Obviously, that's the biggest Olympic moment in the history of the Olympics, the 1980 hockey team. Outside of that, what's the first Olympic memory that comes to your mind?
TJ Oshie shootout.
Bingo. That is exactly what I said. It was TJ Oshie, and that is something that you will never, ever forget. Is the TJ Oshie shootout round after round after round. You will never – Waba doesn't even know what we're talking about.
But
you'll never forget it. And you're not – like those moments, like is it going to be as big of a – like it's TJ Oshie. TJ Oshie's fame grew exponentially after that. Now that is now if that is, I don't know, name a junior player that's from the United States. Do you see my point? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Let's say let's say that's Luke Hughes. Okay. What is that? Like, who cares? It's some 18-year-old.
Oh, Owen Power. There we go.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
Okay, Owen Power. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much. Let him play with some State. Actual athletes before they ship him off to Buffalo next year.
Yeah, like, okay, Owen Power. Yeah, cool. It's not the same. As if it were TJ, like TJ Oshie. I mean, it wouldn't be, I don't think it would even be TJ Oshie now. But it's just you're depriving people who don't normally watch the game from being able to experience these moments. And you may grab some young fans out of it, or some new fans. New, young, old, whatever.
Didn't the NHL go with that influencer to try to, like, because they're...
Oh, followers. My God.
I don't even know this dude's name. I know he's got hair that looks like a paintbrush.
Mm.
And I remember they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be, like, the new influencer that helped reach the Zoomers. Meanwhile, I haven't seen anything. Maybe I'm, like, not... The Venn diagram between me and his content might just be two circles. I don't know.
I feel like I'm, like, showing my age. I don't even know what you're talking about.
They hired a...
Some like TikTok guy. Doesn't he do a podcast with Prez?
I don't even know what his name is. But they hired a kid out of LA. He like went to like a couple of Kings games. That's like is all that I saw. They went to a couple of Kings games, filled a couple of TikTok videos.
Dude, I would have done whatever they're paying him to do for like literally a fraction.
Josh Richards.
Never heard of him.
19-year-old to a 1-year special advisor role with the purpose of expanding the NHL's youth fan base as part of a larger initiative to grow the game. The NHL went further, dubbing him as the voice of the fans. He's one of those.
Hey, Big Country, he's your voice.
Yeah, voice of the fan. Yeah, that's you.
Josh Richard sounds like the name that like some like Russian trying to like the scam someone uses over the phone.
He's one of those TikTok kids that has like the long like, what was right, like paintbrush hair and the chiseled jawline, and he looks like he's 15 and does the dances and stuff. It's one of those kids, like the Hype House kids.
I was gonna say something, but I'm gonna just refrain from
You still have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I have no idea who he is. I don't care who he is.
Okay, but this is the voice of the fans.
Yeah.
He's your voice.
Yeah. Who's the voice of the Thing?
He's not my voice.
Probably takes him. Do you think it would? Waba, you know what he looks like. Do you think it would take him longer to get dressed in full hockey equipment or do his hair?
First off, good question. Second off, good joke.
I would put my money on that Waba knows how to put hockey equipment on more than this influencer does.
You're putting Waba's
wife might need to show him how to do it. But...
oh my gosh. It's still. This is like, obviously I love the league, but it's just like decisions like this. And I know, like, we were talking about the Olympics, but going to this, it seems like, because like you said, it's a good promotional thing. So they don't do that, but then they do this. And again, I don't know how much money, whatever they pay this kid, it's probably not much compared to like other marketing initiatives with their budget, but I don't know. It's just silly.
The point. It shows how disconnected they actually are. Do you think any hockey fan gives a rat's behind about Josh Richards and his TikTok videos? And to take it a step further, do we even want people who like that to be fans of this game? Is that what we want?
No, because those are going to be the same exact people who are going to be like, get fighting out of hockey.
Yeah.
That you're going to bring a more of an influence, influx of those type of people where it's like.
I don't particularly like fighting in hockey either, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
So I'm on his Instagram. He's wearing a Kraken jersey skating. So
Does he play?
There's
no way he plays.
No way. No, it doesn't. It goes in at the waist, which is fine. Oh, again, whatever. That's fine.
Is his ankles touching the ice?
he has a pigeon. Oh. Hold on.
I mean, he's got 6.9 million followers. So, I mean,
he has an Elite Prospects account.
Oh! So do you think he played and then turned influencer and then?
This might not be him. Look up that kid's date of birth, Waba.
I don't
want to. Same birthday as my brother.
If he's 19, then he probably was born in what? 2003.
So maybe it's not the same kid.
2004.
This kid's from Flemington, New Jersey, born April 27th, 1998. He played for the New Jersey Rockets, 18U and 16U AAA teams.
If this kid played
at Rowan University.
Yeah, so he was born in 2003.
That was at the time it got announced.
On Google it says, why is Josh Richards so famous? Is Josh Richards' family rich? How is Josh Richards so rich? it says he's an investor and the chief strategy officer of Triller. I don't know what that is. According to Forbes, in August 2020, he earned $1.5 million from his numerous sponsorship deals.
Triller is an American video sharing social network service. The service allows users to create and share short-form videos, including videos set to and automatically synchronized to music using artificial intelligence technology. It's TikTok.
So he went on TikTok and sold TikTok.
It's TikTok. Yeah, it's TikTok.
Although he gets DMCA'd and loses all his money.
Although it was released in 2015, which is before TikTok. TikTok came out in 2016, so it was actually before TikTok. Okay, we are way off track here.
I know, but
how did we get here?
My brain hurts.
How did we get here?
My brain hurts.
How did we get here?
What's our next big hockey talk?
This all started by me asking a civil question about the Olympics. We haven't talked about the Bruins yet.
We got
a lot to talk about the Bruins, right? Too.
This is wild. From trade requests to oh no, we already talked about that. From trade requests to coming back.
Well,
from COVID.
Let's touch on the trade requests. So last time we recorded was right before the Bruins got shut down for COVID. Jake DeBrusk asked for a trade. Jake DeBrusk has landed himself in COVID protocol and has been out of the lineup for the last week and a half. And we've gotten our first look without Jake DeBrusk. Have you guys noticed the difference?
I thought DeBrusk was actually doing well, and then the team is doing well without him as well. I said well a lot, but I think he's put himself in a good position to be valuable, but also that the Bruins might not need him anymore.
Right. I mean, I feel like, your Waba's boy Antoine Bleed has looked good the last couple games.
You Bleed scored. Let's go!
Frederick finally got on the board.
He's got two.
That game, what was it, the game against, was it the Devils? Or was it the Red Wings? The Red Wings, where they blew him out, 5-1 or 5-2? That whole game, Frederick finally scores, and my wife literally goes, "It's about time. He's been trying all game." I was like, I need to use that and tell Wabba that, because we just rip on Wabba for that. But no, but
bottom six, here we go.
Yeah, secondary scoring finally is what the Bruins have been lacking all year, and you know, turn of the calendar, and we're finally getting it.
And then they brought what, Steen up for a few games, and that dude, like,
dude,
we have good people. Oh my gosh, dude, his quads are unreal. It's a weird statement to me. I saw a picture of it. I was like,
oh my god, yeah, his quads are like the size of my head.
Is that normal? You guys play hockey. Is do people's quads look like that if they're hockey players?
Look up Martin St. Louis. Google it right now. Martin St. Louis's legs. He's like 5 foot four. He's like 5 foot four. And if he flexes his calves and legs, he's like 6 foot two.
All right, I'm turning safe search off for this one, boys. Oh, yikes! No, I didn't see the winner.
You know what? I think that's
slad.
That's more on like shorter players that their quads are that big.
I missed the beginning part of the conversation because I was reading something. Who are you talking about? Has good quads?
Alex Steen.
We're talking about you.
Quadzilla.
He's 200 pounds, 5 foot nine, 200 pounds, and he's like
100 of it's in his legs.
He's all But you're right. It is the smaller players. They have those big. They got to keep up. They have short legs, shorter strides, so they got to move them faster and keep up with the bigger players.
Yeah. Yep.
Science.
Like he's coming up. Like you said, he's crushing it. Trent Fred is crushing it. Bleed is
Trent
crushing
Fred
is it.
Not crushing it.
What do you mean he's not crushing it?
He's not crushing it.
Two goals.
Hey, that was a nice clean hit on Kaprizov the other day, huh? Goon.
Can I tell you a Trent Frederick story in relation to that hit?
Go ahead.
So Angie Strickland, he reached out to me because I have Trent Frederick merch. This is not me like promoting it. It's just I do.
You can plug it. I don't care.
It's Trent Frederick Fight Club merch. It's if you search it, you'll see it. It's the cheapest one. I'm cheaper than Barstool. So he reached out and asked for some sweatshirts. I said, absolutely. And he said, next time Trent makes a big physical play, he would tweet out about it. And he did. And of course, it's like really cool to see like somebody actually like famous wearing my stuff. But he did it. And I was like all amped up, but I hadn't seen the play yet. And so I'm like retweeting and I'm like, let's go Trent. And then everyone's like, dude, he killed Kaprizov. And I'm like, oh no. But the Fredericks saw, because so Trent Frederick's from St. Louis, and that's where Strickland reports now and has his podcast based out of. And I guess they reached out to him and said, like, hey, that's like pretty cool stuff. I was like, oh my God! Like, did he see my stuff? Does he think it's cool? So, I hope I made him proud with my silly stuff.
Wabba's becoming best friends with the fourth liners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is what you want to achieve. Yeah, you want Trent Frederick. You care if Trent Frederick has seen your stuff, and if you want.
Hey, you know what? Let's get Trent Frederick on the pod. Let's get Antoine Bleed on the pod. Is it start? We got to start at the bottom and then work our way up.
Yeah,
to
let's
the
get
pop-
Frederick. Let's get Frederick Bleed and Steen's quads. Let's get them all on the pod. Here.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, I'm down. I bet you. Honestly, I bet you those would probably be the most pure conversations you would have.
Yeah,
and probably. You would be able to get the most like juice out of that locker room.
Wabba would have to pee. Would pee his pants because he'd actually have to try and bring hockey knowledge to the table. He'd be like, oh shoot.
Yeah, if I actually talked to somebody who plays hockey, I would need to like brush up real quick, and I'd have to like have notes. Like I'd have to use a pen for the first time in 15 years.
We'd have to have like studying sessions with Wabba before the pod.
we'll do that after the history. We'll just ask a lot of questions on whoever's coming on, like a lot of Anton Bleed questions. And
we'll get a whiteboard. We'll have like okay, Wabba, like
it's oh my gosh, but yeah, it's I don't know. It's been they've been fun to watch recently, and it's just. I know I talked about this before when it's like, well, our AHL team is like good and it's great to see that. And now it's like, it's finally happening. They get up to the NHL level and like, wouldn't you know, they're producing.
I'd love to continue the love fest here we've had since returning, which has been great. Which is, I mean, honestly, they're what 4-1 since they've come back. They're
playing
Washington tonight. But let's take a look at this for a second before we go wild, okay? Let's take a look at this. They beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
In overtime.
which was their, first game after being off for 3 weeks.
They beat Buffalo. They beat Detroit.
And which at that time, Detroit was ahead of them in the playoff standings.
And, well, because they haven't played as many games. The Bruins have played 5 less games than anybody in the league. Oh,
okay, Jack Edwards.
That's why they're so low in the standings, because they played 5 less. And then they beat the Devils.
Which at that, right before that game, the Devils were on a 7-game win streak and then got hit with the COVID.
They just had 2 weeks off. Everybody had 2 weeks off, or a week and a half off.
Yeah. It was.
So, okay, nice. Yes, you play your schedule. You play who's on the schedule. And yes, you're coming back after not playing for 3 weeks, basically. 2.5 weeks, basically. But, you know, Devils, Red Wings, and Sabres. And you're like, eh. And they play an actual somewhat of a team in the Wild, and they lose that game. But then, Saturday night, they got themselves a nice little matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning and handled the Tampa Bay Lightning. So up to that point, it was all basically secondary scoring. It was, you know, it wasn't the perfection line, which isn't really the perfection line, which we can talk about, but it wasn't the Marchands, the Pasternaks, and the Bergerons of the world. And then come this game, and now it's the Marchands and the Pasternaks of the world. I mean, Bergeron didn't score, but I mean, you Marchand had 2, Pasternak had 2. And so now if you can get your elite scorers scoring and you can get your depth scoring to continuing to contribute, you're onto something. Mm-hmm. You're onto something. And it's something that if you can keep going. Now they started out this they're playing as we speak right now, which I'm assuming is what Big Country keeps watching. But they're where they're playing right now, and they went down quick, and now they fought back. It's 2-2.
It's tied 2-2.
And guess who scores? Marchand.
Pasternak and Bergie. I mean Pasternak and Marchand.
So now you're getting contributions from both sets. You're getting them from your elite players, and you're getting them from your secondary scoring. Which gets me to the point, long-winded point, of splitting up the perfection line, which we've talked about before, thinking that maybe they should do it. Someone, and I don't know if you can see who just raised their hand, was a big proponent for it, and now it's done. How's it looking, Mr. GM Ryan Daly?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my offer sheet from the Bruins to be, you know, part of the management team here, because clearly that was the right call. Yes, I did propose that on a previous episode, that is it time to split up the perfection line, and then after the Christmas break they did, and it seems it's working. I mean, and you know, Bruce Cassidy has that luxury to put them back together if he needs to in a pinch. Like, I think we saw that briefly in that Minnesota game. That Minnesota game, the Bruins shot themselves in the foot. There was way too many penalties.
Yeah, Trent Frederick shot him in the foot.
Yeah, way too many penalties in that game. That was the reason why. I mean, they clawed back. They came close, but they just couldn't tie it up and, you know, take the win. But, I mean, other than that, I think they've been playing very well. And being able to split that up and actually giving Taylor Hall a little more talent to play with, you definitely have seen the difference.
I agree. I think. Did you say Holla? Did you add Holla to that mix too? Did you say that?
No, I just said Hall. Because Hall. I feel like we were kind of like busting on Hall a little bit, feeling like we haven't really seen much out of him. But now you put him with Pasta, and I mean even Holla.
Holla's been a good addition to that line.
Yeah,
he seems to fit the play style. He's a little bit quicker than Coyle. Seems to fit the play style a little bit more so than Coyle. And I think Coyle could be a contributor on the top in the top six with the right pieces around him, but I think he's more suited to be a third line player, whether it's at the in the dot or at the wing. I think he's probably a third line guy. That's probably more his more his speed. With Trent, Trent got a promotion to the third line. I don't know how that works.
Because Jake DeBrusque is out of the lineup.
Oh, that's weird.
And Trent Frederick a lot cheaper, playing probably just as well as DeBrusque is?
Nah, give me DeBrusque every day of the week.
Jeez.
I mean,
bookmark that.
I think it takes a lot of huevos, as it were. I think that's what they call stones, to break up the line called perfection, which I know that's been the name for a few years, and you know things change and all that stuff. But I think that's a bold move by Cassie that paid off, and it's not just we're gonna move you for a game. It's like, no, it's gonna be that way. And the fact that not only is he able to put the right pieces in place, even changing, you know, like the center for the line too, but like also to like get buy-in from like making sure, like, because you've got to manage, I don't know Pasta's personality, but to manage the personality, like, hey, I'm taking you off the line of like, you know, two amazing players, and I'm putting you on this other one. Not that they're not good, but it's just you have to manage that. And now the fact that they're seeing results, I think that's, I mean, it obviously we talk about when things work, but it's really good to see.
Well, you know what it does is it balances. And if I'm Pastrnak, I'm actually a little pumped because you know what that top line draws every single night? Top D pairs. You know what that? Yep, you know right. What now you can't get against that line? And what you can't do against your top line and your second line is put out top D pairs. So as Pastrnak now, you're not seeing the top two defensemen every single shift anymore because teams could easily load up. And even the teams that didn't put top line against top line are the teams that have a really good third line or a really good fourth line for defending, the Bruins used to do that when they had Chris Kelly. They wouldn't necessarily put the first line against the first line. In this case, it was probably more so the second line would take the other team's second line would take the fourth line because they were so good defensively. But you're not like as Pastrnak now. You are playing with. I mean, Taylor Hall is not Brad Marchand, but it's also not Trent Frederick. So like, I mean, yes, there's a decline in ability there. But it's not like Hall, like, people don't forget, Hall was a number one pick. Like, Hall's not exactly a slouch when it comes to the team. But again, he's not Marchand. But you still have talent there on your left side. And Bergeron, yes, he's, you know, he's unbelievable, 200-foot game, and not taking anything away from that. Not the most offensive guy. Most of that offense gets generated from Marchand and Pastrnak. So if you're in Pastrnak's perspective here, your offensive, you probably have a little bit more offensive ability from your center, I would say, in Halla than Bergeron. Not saying Halla is better than Bergeron. That's not what I'm saying. Don't twist my words. And you're not having a huge offensive decrease there from your left wing. So it's actually not a terrible. And you don't have to face the top pairs every week. So it's not a. Or every week, every shift. So it's not a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to happen. And you're still on the first power play unit, so you still get to play with those guys whenever there's a power play. So I think, I mean, and from Cassidy's perspective, all you're doing here is balancing your team. That's what it's all about here is balancing. Shifting scoring so that, you know, maybe guys can slot. Now is Craig Smith the first line right wing? Because that's the other part of it. Someone's going to take that spot. Someone's going to take that spot. So, I mean, is that the long term for him? I don't know.
Maybe it's good because Bergeron can just feed it to him. All he does is shoot.
It works. It works, and that's what really matters right now is that it's working, but it's balancing. So now your top six forwards are pretty damn good now. I mean, not to say that they weren't good before, but it's balanced more now.
The way the pieces are aligned now, it's much better because now you can allow Bergeron and Marshy to do kind of the play setup and like Craig Smith kind of crash the net, which Craig Smith has been getting those garbage goals or even, you know, getting Marshy and Bergeron set up to get those. And the same thing on the second line. You got Hula as the one to kind of crash the net and let Hall and Pasta kind of be the, the possession players. And if you recall, before the professional line getting split up, Pasta was on a cold streak. He has not been producing. And then ever since that switch up, I mean, he got a goal tonight. He had two goals the other night. I mean, he's been more involved in the play. He's been able to open things up. And I think it's just like Mike alluded, it's because he's not seeing that top defensive pairs and top, you know, top lines against him shift in and shift out.
And maybe not that Hall is slow, but maybe the decrease in speed, because Marchand is just, you know, balls to the wall every single second of life, it feels like, but certainly when he's on skates, maybe Hall slowing the game down a little bit more helps Pastrnak out too. He's got more space by not having the top pair defense, get a little bit more space there. And he also, the game's a little bit slower now for him. He's not, I mean, he's fast enough on his own, but I mean, he's not trying to keep stride with Marchand and playing the game fast, which Marchand, even when he's slow, he's fast. Like, that's just the way he plays. He just plays a fast game, and that's why he's so good on the penalty kill, because he plays so fast and he plays so, not reckless, but quick. And right. So maybe that's a benefit to him too, and I don't know. It just really makes you wonder. And I know that this came out, and I didn't see the quote because I'm not well prepared, Waba. But I know that Krejci. I'm sure Ryan's got it. I saw that Krejci came out and made some comments about Cassidy. I didn't get to see them, but it really makes you wonder. And that's the first thing I thought of when I started seeing this and it working with Holla, is how good would that line have been if they had kept it. If they had let Krejci and Pastrnak figure it out together, because it wasn't perfect. But with Hall and Krejci and Pastrnak as your second line last season, that's the first thing I thought of, is why they didn't let the Krejci and Pastrnak experiment last a little bit longer.
Whenever they did it, it didn't work out that well.
That's what I'm saying.
Who else would you have put up there instead? At the time, I mean, I think it was the right move. I can see why it's like, you know, it's probably like, you know, they missed the, what is it, the Czech connection?
Yeah, they'll play the Olympics together. Oh.
Honestly, so I mean, he could always come back. Hey, I tweeted to President Biden and said, can we extradite Krejci? Also, if you can get Jágr back here as an extra favor, I think Boston would appreciate it. So let's.
I don't know about Jágr coming here.
It's just retweeted. I need Biden to help extradite Krejci, but
man, good luck.
But no, I think it's I don't know. I it's also like situational too. You know what I mean? Like the team is different from when Krejci. I mean, it's not like greatly different, but like still there are different pieces in play. So I get why he's disappointed. Too, like, why is he even bringing it up? Who said that couldn't have happened this year? The man chose to get 50 goals a game in Olomouc or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I mean, he chose not to do it.
To the point where the Bruins were like, oh, what? Oh, he's not coming back. So, I mean, hey.
Well, doesn't it seem like he didn't come back?
I think he could.
You think they're not going to be like,
oh, well, we got Holla.
Yeah, but no. we have somebody named Holla.
Bye, Felicia. Krejci, step on up. Go play with Pasta and Holland. Enjoy your 50 goals here. U.S. goals actually translate to the exchange rate too is great. 50 American goals is like 70 Czech goals. It'll be great.
I'm trying to read exactly what the comment was from Krejci.
Make sure you translate it.
I have Google for that. A couple of teammates and other people asked me if I would make the trip back to Boston. Krejci said in an interview, but there's no answer. No one knows her at this point, including me.
Are you sure they asked about his return to Boston or something else?
That's
what? This is the first I'm hearing of this, so...
Seriously?
That sounded like a Jágr answer.
I brought breaking news to the Boston Sports Syndicate earlier, too. I'm just going to keep plugging this, because I literally just did it. It's fresh on the brain. About Antonio Brown. My dad hadn't heard about his Tom Brady comments, and now you haven't heard about this Krejci thing?
No.
Krejci goes on to say, every time now, but there's no answer. No one knows her at this point, including me. That's got to be a translation issue, or is he being funny? Like, know her?
I haven't seen Krejci smile outside of the graphic they made for his whenever he scores a goal in the Czech Twitter.
Every time Krejci goes on to say, every time I look at the highlights, I read what is happening with the Bruins in the local newspaper. I know I can't believe everything that is written in the media. Anyway, I still watch Boston. I can see the way they play, what they call it, how the Bruins are reported in the media. What is going on?
What do you mean the local newspaper? Is he at the Boston Globe delivering?
No. He must have.
Be the Czech.
Anyways,
or is he such a big deal that they talk about his old team
in
because
Czech.
Of him?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
I can see the way they play, what they call it, how the Bruins are reported in the media. I think I'm in the picture. In the beginning, the boys did not do very well, which makes sense. Fresh faces always take a while to get used to. This guy's a philosopher. But they've gotten up to speed. Hopefully it works well. Hopefully it will work for them. I could have sworn Coach Cassidy really let the two of us play together. It had to be so that he split the first line and put Pasta to me. It was a maximum of 2 matches. Years later, I leave Boston and suddenly it's possible. That struck me. The coach always told me that there was no reason for Pasta's removal from the first line, and it would be as short as possible to distribute the forces. I had to take it. But now Pasta is 5 or however many matches in the line with Hall and Holla. Strange. This is very difficult to read.
Did he like go back to the Czech for like 6 months and then just forget how to speak English?
Also, what happens if you have to call out to your line mate and you say Hall? Do they get confused because it's Hall and Holla?
No, you just turn to Missy. No. Holla, Holla, ain't no stopping me.
we're gonna get DMCA.
He's got more. Wait, there's more. We were in harmony with Pasta. This guy is philosophical, I tell you. I dare say that whenever we play,
you know
together,
what this sounds like? This sounds like an ex-girlfriend.
A scorned lover? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really does.
And we'll really take him back! I want him back!
We were in harmony with Pasta. Yes. I dare say that whenever we played together, it suited us, and it was useful for the team. Sometimes the coach put us in overtime, or 4 against 4. The mutual chemistry was there right away. We enjoyed long walks on the beach. No, we were scoring goals. We were scoring goals, said Krejci. Now I just think that Cassidy could have taken Pasta out of the first one for me, and everything would have looked different. But it is the way it is. I don't blame the coach. Really, David? Because it sounds like you're blaming the coach.
Yeah.
Really?
It sounds like you're directly blaming Bruce on
it
that
It sounds
one.
Like there might be a little bit of a translation issue here, but it also sounds like you are blaming the coach. I don't know.
Sounds like he's a little jelly. I bet if he knew he was going to play with Pasta, he would have stayed here. Why would he play with those Czechs if he could play with the best Czech? He would check himself before
is
that.
Is that fist pump for a good point by Waba? Or do they score?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, my Pasta just scored right on the money.
Oh, but don't bring him to the second line, Krejci.
From Taylor Hall.
Oh, my gosh. Krejci, I love you. All right.
I wanted
you to come back. I would pay whatever it is to extradite you back here safely to
if
play
you
line
ask,
two.
But my God,
it worked.
If you ask me, it seems like Taylor Hall and David Pasternak are in harmony. And dare I say, when they play together, it suits them and useful for the team. The mutual chemistry was there right away. We were scoring goal.
Scoring goal?
That's what it says. We were scoring goal.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
they
scored a goal.
There's no way. It's got to be the translation because he knows English.
Yeah, it's got to be. Although this is written by Boston Hockey Now. This is Boston Hockey
maybe,
Now.
Maybe
BostonHockeyNow.com. They had to have Google Translated. They must have gotten the interview and did Google Translate. That had to be what happened.
100%.
They had to have gotten the script and then did Google Translate to get this.
Dude, Pasta Watch is happening. I love this.
I mean, but then again, like I kind of get what Krejci's saying. Like, you know, they played well together, but like that first line was unstoppable. Like, you can't break that up. I don't care how upset Krejci was. You cannot. That line was unstoppable. It was the best line in the NHL. You do not break up the best line in the NHL. I'm sorry. But even Hall with Krejci and Smith last year was a phenomenal second line. And I'm pretty sure all the three of us were talking how great that second line is going to be last off season, and then, you know, the rug got swept out from underneath us. But I don't know. I mean, I just want to say I called it first that they should split up the perfection line.
And now Craig Smith just scored. What is happening?
Well,
Craig
there was
Smith
instant
scored
chemistry.
Before that.
There was instant. Hold on, I gotta get back. Oh wait.
Oh, you know, 5-2. What is the score? Too many goals have happened. I'm on Twitter.
5-2.
Oh, you know what they say? You know what they actually say in the article here? Sounds like Krejci is hinting that some things might have to change a bit before he consider coming back to the Boston Bruins, even if he didn't say in actual words with a big assist to Google Translate. They say it right in the article that they grabbed from Google Translate. But you know what happens is that when you put Craig Smith with Marchand and Bergeron, they're in harmony. And they have the mutual chemistry was there right away.
Can we talk about the other crazy foreign addition?
Oh, the Tuukka Rask signing. Is
yes,
that what
the,
you mean?
The, he's going to come here and finish what he started.
Oh, Rask will finish what he started.
You think I don't write down notes? I write down that nonsense.
Yeah, well, that's the name of the episode. Rask will finish what he started. yeah, he's not signed with the Bruins.
No, I mean, he seems like a pretty good goalie. I know he's got his rookie trial contract, so he seems like, you know, he's pretty capable. We'll see if he makes it.
Is there any doubt?
Is another freak out in Providence like he did his last game in Providence when he was, a 2-1 loss and he's like throwing his stick?
Wasn't it during a shootout or a, I think it was a shootout.
I loved when it was announced because they're like, oh yeah, by the way, Lehigh Valley Phantoms, you get to face off against Vezina winner Tuukka Rask on Saturday. And I'm like, dude, Lehigh Valley in shambles right now.
Didn't they cancel the game, didn't they?
Yo, they did, but like, imagine you're like this kid and you're like in the AHL, or not have to be a kid, but like you're an AHL player. You're like, all right, we're going to go play the P Bruins. I'm going to go, I don't even know the goalies down there anymore.
Isn't it Kaiser and...
All right, so Kaiser Soze's in net. And you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, by the way, you're playing Tuukka Rask, who, by the way, has more
Stanley Cups than you have wins.
Yeah, he has more Stanley Cups than like you have children. So I don't know. It's ridiculous, but it's, you know.
I thought it was Danny Kaiser.
Danny Kaiser.
It's Kyle Kaiser.
Kyle Kaiser.
First of all.
I knew it was Kaiser. Okay, I had Kaiser. I forget who the other one is, like McIntyre or something like that.
Kaiser, hardly known.
Zane McIntyre. Actually, I don't know. I actually don't know who it is, actually.
No, I think Zano's gone. But, like, I just thought that was a funny, like, thing that it's like, now it's like, now you get Tuukka. It's Tuukka time, and you're up. But it's too bad, because I was interested to see him play, and now he's talking about, like, oh, yeah, I'll be with the big boys soon.
He's been practicing with
them, do you think so my question is, do you think there's any doubt that he won't be with the team? Like, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
I thought you already signed a contract, no?
No, PTO, professional tryout.
Oh, that's right.
I love the bromance between Swayman and Ullmark. I think Ullmark is doing very well, much better than I thought. I think Swayman's doing much better than I thought.
Here we go. Now, while none of them are Rask back.
None of them are better than Tuukka.
Yeah,
Tuukka
obviously.
Tuukka is the best option you have. You put Tuukka in, you make Ullmark 2, you put Swayman in as a 3 or whatever because of Taxi Squad now, which you use that to your advantage. You know, pull a Lightning and use the NHL policies to your advantage. And now you just have three very good, probably like the best trio when some, you know, teams,
here's the thing,
you know,
though,
Oilers need to get one goalie that can save something.
If you're going to have Swayman sit the bench, which is fine, I don't necessarily disagree. I think I'd rather have him just in Providence and play.
Yeah, no, I think Ullmark is kind of solidifying his, you know, the backup spot right now, the way he's been playing these last few games, and he's been getting the majority of the starts lately. I think you're going to see Swayman back in Providence, which I'm actually fine with. Let him continue to play. Let him grow a little more. He's still young. And then this will be Swayman's team in the future.
Kind of a nice problem to have, though. It's like, oh, man, we got our Vezina winning veteran, you know, goaltender back. What do we do? Do we send down this really good signing that maybe we had people thought was overpaid and now it's panning out, or our elite, you know, goalie of the future? Man, really sucks to be a Bruin right now. Like, it's so nice seeing other teams, like, you know, Koskinen's meltdown where he says his team can't score and then he kicks one in himself. It's like there are so many dumpster fire goaltending situations, and the Bruins have three. They had two solid ones, and then the best free agent option is like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm going to play for Bud Light. And Boston only. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're not wrong. I think, but I also feel like this isn't a surprise. Like, I feel like this was known for the last, I don't know, 8 months. Like, I think this, like, they actually, you know what? I don't know if I believe in that, because if they knew, then maybe they wouldn't have spent all that money on Omar for 5 years. So maybe they didn't know that this was gonna. How do you not know?
Yeah.
No, they knew. I'm.
Maybe Omar wouldn't have taken less.
I'm flip-flop, but they knew. They had to have known. There's no way that they didn't know.
I mean, I'm sure they know. I mean, but I think there was a lot of question marks. Like, they didn't know exactly what they were going to get out of Swayman in year two. I mean, we've seen it, you know, time and time again, you know, the sophomore slump. They probably didn't know how long Tuukka's recovery was going to be. I mean, so locking down a goaltender for 5 years is kind of the safe move. Where Omar, you know, he struggled at the beginning of the year. I mean, I feel like he's played much better since, you know, the turn of the calendar. But we'll just kind of continue to keep our eye on him. And I think if he kind of, you know, falls off a little bit, then you definitely have the ability to to put Tuukka in and be the number one. Oh, Bruins just scored again.
Who?
What is going Pasternak on?
Pasternak for a hat trick.
Pasta! He's getting... Oh, no, he's going to get upgraded in Benny.
Wait, well, is 7-2? Was 7?
6-2.
Yeah, it was Holla.
Oh, pound the over. Holy crap.
Game the Caps just tweeted out, well, this is no fun.
Wow, what a rip. That was a great shot. But yeah, no, I think it's Holla, a good problem Holla. To have.
Ain't no stopping me.
Good when things come together.
Oh, it's amazing that we're talking about how the whole line has been, like, even Holla's been effective, and now he's...
I know, right? As we're talking, it's basically proving our point. Yeah. Krejci's just in shambles now.
With the whole Holla and Smith all scored in the last half hour that we've been on this podcast. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right.
And Holla has two primary assists on the last two goals.
Big
like,
time. Big time.
Krejci shambles.
Krejci, Google Translate, doing him dirty right now.
Yeah, right?
So yeah, you know, good game. It's nice when they're playing well, because I saw someone else tweet out. It's like, you know, they're gonna lose one of two. They're gonna drop Washington, and they're gonna drop Tampa. Two teams they've had a bad time against, and they just destroy both of them.
Yeah, I don't think they're dropping this one. I mean, I guess never say never, but four goals in the second period—that's
six unanswered goals.
Pretty good.
I'm saying never.
They're all over Washington right now. If they keep this up, game's over.
Well, they're looking up, which I guess is where you wanted to be, because it was looking a little bleak there for a little bit. And I mean, they're not. I forget who it was, but someone asked me if they were going to start making a push to be considered, to be in this division race, which I don't think is happening. I don't think that's going to happen. But at least they're trying to put some separation between them and the Red Wings. And thus and all, they play the least amount of games. I know. I don't want to hear. If someone else tells me that they play the least amount of games, which, by the way, they haven't, because the Islanders have played only 28 games. I don't know. That's impossible.
Well, the Islanders haven't showed up to half of their own, so.
That's true. But they, you know, they've played less games than the Lightning. Yes, they've played less games than the Panthers. Yes, they've played two less games than the Maple Leafs. But don't you still kind of feel like they're going to be the fourth team in this division?
Yeah,
just because of how poorly that they started their season.
Yeah, for sure. They'll be a wild card team. I think they'll probably have that number one wild card spot. The rest of the top of the division is just too strong.
Right now they'd be the eighth seed. As of right now, they play Tampa, Florida, in the first round.
Which that's scary.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a tough division. They've got a very, very tough division. And I think, I mean, it's unfortunate the way that they got started. But, I mean, when you look at the bottom four of this division, it's almost where you would expect. I mean, I would have expected them to finish higher than the Maple Leafs, I think, is what I would have liked to have seen. But, I mean, whatever. They're you know, they weren't going to finish out of Tampa. And
well, if the Leafs keep dropping 5-2s, as is tradition or whatever.
Leafs got some COVID issues going on right now, I believe. I think Marner's out with COVID.
No, Marner got hurt. He's still dealing with that injury.
Oh, damn. Marner's actually hurt. No.
Morgan Riley lit him
up. No, he's got COVID. Marner has COVID. He was hurt, came back, and now he has COVID.
Oh.
I mean, everybody's got COVID. It's not really in it. I don't really think saying that anybody has COVID is not that it's not a thing, but it's like, everybody's got it, so everybody's dealing with it. So
yeah, it's
all
teams. Or just do what the NBA does and just don't test anyone. Jesus. The NFL started kind of going that way.
Sorry, catching up on stats here.
Just make the stats up. It's so easy.
No, that's not
why.
That's not the way that you. That's not the way that you roll.
Waba just does the NHL sim.
6-3.
That's how he decides all his stats.
Yeah, I just make them up in my head.
That's a good way. That's a good way to go about it. That's a way to bring the hard hitting facts here.
Anything's a fact if you believe it in your heart.
Is there anything else on the Bruins that you guys would like to discuss or around the NHL?
If we want to talk around the NHL, Evander Kane got terminated by the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, good one.
And then the NHLPA is filing for grievance.
Good one.
For another, another false COVID vaccine card or whatever, or violating COVID protocol or something.
He has a fake card?
They're filing a grievance for him?
The NHLPA is, yeah. That was the last I heard briefly today.
So he's actively looking to sign with the team, but he's also filing a grievance that he got terminated.
Because he got terminated, so I feel like they don't have to pay him. But
that's what
he violated AHL COVID protocols.
Yeah. Well, he violated NHL COVID protocols at the beginning of the year, which landed him on that, like...
Yeah, he got suspended for 21 games.
Yeah. And then the Sharks released him once his suspension was up and went down. He was down in the AHL. He's playing in the AHL, then violated the AHL COVID protocol. So, yeah.
Do you think anyone takes him?
Kane violated league rules by traveling home to Vancouver while he was in COVID-19 protocols last month. Yeah, talk about a waste of talent. $7 million sitting in your AHL. And he's arguably still an NHL caliber player. A pretty good NHL caliber player.
I mean, he definitely would fit on a team, like, talent-wise.
Here's the thing, though. At this point in the season, if you're any team that's in the running, do you want to bring someone like that into your locker room?
That's what I was Pittsburgh. Alluding to. Is that it's his attitude. Yeah, it's just
100%. But I mean, where was he before? Oh, Winnipeg, right?
Buffalo.
Atlanta. Wasn't he with Atlanta?
Yeah, he was in Atlanta. He was in Buffalo. I think he was in Winnipeg. I mean, he's kind of, but he's always. I feel like with every team he's been on, there's been issues.
Well, I mean, I would cause issues in Atlanta and Buffalo too. I think.
Yeah, you get kind of bored. Not much to do.
He's producing, though. I mean, even just last year, he had 49 points, 56 games.
He's not a bad player.
Tell me that's not an NHL caliber. You're going to tell me that no team is going to take a flyer on that?
Let me ask this.
See what I did there?
Flyer. Ooh.
Flyers? You think the Flyers need
him? No, I think a team like Pittsburgh.
Attitude notwithstanding, do you think he'd be a good fit for Boston?
No.
No.
Why?
Actually, you know what? Yes. Without the attitude. Yeah, he plays a heavy game. He's a better Foligno.
No
without
attitude. Yeah.
No attitude.
No attitude.
Actually,
yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, because that's what I do. If you're gonna take
an intellectual.
the chemistry was there right away. As the wise man, old man that I am, if a team's gonna take him in. At this point, you can't be a bottom of the barrel team, which is probably he'll probably go to the Canadiens. But you can't be a bottom of the barrel team, right? Because what's the point? Where's the incentive for you to bring in a player like that at this point? Bad PR. Like I'm equating him now to Antonio Brown in my head, right? You've got the attitude, you've got the risk. So if you need to be that player away, what's the other thing you need to bring in a player like that?
Good leadership.
Bingo. Way to go, Waba. 2 points.
Kobe.
So you know where he's going to go now that I'm saying all this? Is Toronto, who has the worst leadership in the history of the NHL. He'll go to Toronto. But realistically, think about it. Look around the league and think about a team that is maybe a player or two away. And this is a free signing and has good locker room leadership. Boston fits that bill.
I saw a Tugi, Boston area streamer, who he is like convinced that he's coming here. Not saying he wants him or anything. He just thinks that type of player might be a good fit, especially if they look to. Well, think of this is my opinion now. They look to move to Brusque, Kane in that spot, and you have that leadership. Again, I'm trying to think of a problem player the Bruins have like. You know when a player goes to the Patriots, not to get off topic, but like they get like rehabilitated under the system, at least when Brady was there, except Antonio Brown. Like, has the Bruins done that? Or have they just all created just a culture? You know what I mean? Like,
well, the NHL doesn't really have that kind of, I mean, you could argue Marchand, but he was
maybe.
Here.
I mean, maybe.
but he was here for all of that, so he just kind of matured. I mean, Hall, you could say Hall was a problem child before he came here. He bounced around, went through a couple of teams before he got here. You could maybe say that. I don't know. I'm trying to look at these teams that are – so I feel like if you're a top team at this point, I don't know that you add him because you don't want to even risk him coming into the locker room and ruining the locker room. I'm thinking the Bruins and the Penguins might be the two teams to keep an eye on here.
It would be like a bubble team, if anything.
That's what I'm saying. Both of those teams are bubble. I mean, Columbus, I don't think so.
And skill-wise, too, like, you know, like you said, he plays a heavy game. We don't have a lot of, the, you know, that type of player anymore. I know, you know, I love Trent, but, you know, I think Kane can hold his own.
It's the fourth overall.
At least right now.
Do you know that? For
bottom six. What?
It's the fourth overall pick. 2009. Kane? Number four, right?
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe it's a possibility here. And the reason why I want to kind of pose that one, again, I saw another Bruins creator talk about it. You know, this, again, credit to Tugi for putting that in my head. But two, it's maybe by the time we have our next episode, who knows? Maybe there will be rumors or maybe there would be a signing. And whether it's here or somewhere else, it's going to be interesting to talk about.
This draft class was loaded.
In 09, yeah.
Who went before him?
John Tavares, Victor Hedman, and Matt Duchene.
Well, Duchene. Damn.
Tavares, Hedman, Duchene, Kane, Braden Schenn, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Nazem Kadri, Magnus Pjärvi, rip. Ryan Ellis, Calvin DeHaan, Zach Kassian, Dmitry Kulikov, Nick Leddy, Chris Kreider.
Good defenders in that that batch.
Kyle Palmieri. It's a good draft. Who the Bruins take in this draft? Anybody? 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 Anybody?
2009?
Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
Don't give me hope.
2009. I'm trying to think.
Traded the pick away.
Big body.
For cash future considerations.
Big body. Left-handed shot. Forward.
Milan Lucic?
Nope. Everyone thought he'd be the second coming of Milan Lucic, and it never panned out.
PJ Sock?
No.
No.
Actually, he might have played before Lucic. No, he didn't.
Who was it?
Jordan Caron.
Oh my god, I haven't heard that name in a million years.
No, it's because he blows. Oh, here we go. Here's another one that I can get really upset with. The pick after Jordan Caron, Kyle Palmieri. Are you kidding me?
Well, we almost got him last year. The end of his twilight years in the league.
Mikko Koskinen went in that draft, too. Ryan O'Reilly. This is a good draft. Holy crap. Jakob Silverberg. I guess every draft. If you went through every – Robin Lehner. I bet if you went through every draft, it's probably like this, though.
Yeah, but I feel like especially with
– Yeah, but, I mean, you're also looking at it, what, 13 years later? Like,
yeah,
at that time.
Tavares, Hedman, and Duchene have been impact players since they came into the league. Kane was an impact player. Schenn was an impact player. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is an impact player. That's your top six right there. That's a heck of a draft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a heck of a draft.
But for you to be like, oh, Kyle Palmieri got taken after Caron, like at that point in the draft, you don't know who's going where.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's fun to. It gives Trav a chance to complain in hindsight.
Yeah, that's true. Oh yeah. Brock Besser. Matt Barzal. Anyway, you know what? Now that the more I thought about it, I wouldn't be upset if the – I originally said no, but I don't think I would be upset about it if the Bruins decide that they want to go after him.
I mean, if he could check his attitude at the door and come in and play, you know, if Bergeron could be the leader that – I mean – we all think and know he is, and be like, all right, you're going to come in, you're going to play this system, and this is what's going to happen. Kind of like what Brady did, like, with the Patriots, or even now with Tampa. Like, I think he would be a good fit and would be able to contribute on this team. But if he comes in with the same attitude issues that he had up in, you know, San Jose and Buffalo and Winnipeg and Atlanta, like, then it's going to be an issue for this team.
Yeah. Well, we just sent him down to Pro. It's nice because it's not like he's needed. You know, it's not, they have a fully functional team. It's like, okay, maybe this player could upgrade. And if you don't play ball, see in Providence. Maybe.
Or no, you'd be looking for a job again.
Yeah. Oh, you can just cut him at that point, right?
Yeah. Although I don't know if I'd get involved while there's a grievance going on, but that's, but I guess that's a different conversation. The grievance gets dropped, like it's re-signed. But
yeah.
But you don't want that contract though.
Yeah, but if he clears, then he's a free agent. You sign him to your own contract. You don't absorb his contract. Any guaranteed money. Actually, he stays on San Jose's books. I think he stays on the books for double the time that he had left. I think that, like, you buy him out or whatever. I'm pretty sure he's, because isn't that what happened with was it Mark Savard? No, because that was an injury. There's someone I thought that they bought out, and the contract stayed on the books, and I thought it stayed on longer than what, maybe it's a year or two longer, not at the same cap hit.
David Backus?
But he got traded, so they absorbed the cap for that one. He didn't get cut.
What, that was on the books That's forever? Different.
Well, no, you can retain half of the salary, but you can spread it over the remainder of the contract.
I thought Recky's contract was here forever.
I don't know. I feel like there's someone that they retired or they cut. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
But
you definitely don't have to pay him that contract. If you let him clear waiver, which he already cleared waivers in the NHL, so then you don't have to absorb that contract. His contract would be ripped up, and you'd have your own contract.
Hmm.
He'll go to Tampa. Watch.
Of course, and they'll sit him out until the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, I'll go to Tampa. But. Yeah, I think it would be like that might be an interesting little story. I think I feel a little bit better if Chara were here as the captain because he's a little bit more imposing of a force. I feel.
How about this? Bergeron. Sign Evander Kane, trade him to
Islanders
Edmonton. For Chara.
Trade him to Edmonton for McDavid. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, just flip him.
Okay. All right. We're getting crazy again. Let's talk about TikTok again.
Please don't.
Waba, what can we find you?
You can find me at twitch.tv/WabaPlays. Waba Plays on all socials, including TikTok. Lol. And like I said, if you care about fitness or anything like that, I am going to be training again, retraining for a 5K. So if you care about that, make sure to stay tuned. It's a fun stream. You get to watch me pass out.
Ryan.
You can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/bigcountry7914. It's pretty much all my stuff is going on there. Trying to get monetized by the end of 2022. So go over, hit that sub button. It's 100% free.
Already did it.
I'm unsubbing.
Oh, yeah. For that shameless plug, I'm unsubbing. That's it. Yeah. Forget it. Never mind. You can find us at BBNG Podcast on Twitter and on Twitch. Episodes coming to Twitch and YouTube soon, possibly.
Ooh.
Shout out to Boston Sports Syndicate for powering another episode for us. You can find them at Boston Sports SYN on Twitter. Ooh, almost said Twitch. Boston Sports SYN on Twitter and on Instagram. Newly created Instagram that we need to start, that they need to start. Not we, what is this? They need to start going. And, I think that's it. Don't forget to check out the new Beantown Beatdown podcast that has been added to the Boston Sports Syndicate lineup with a couple of young guys that are blasting out episodes seemingly every 20 minutes or so. I think they already have more episodes out than the flagship podcast does somehow. I don't know, but they keep coming out with new stuff. You can find them on YouTube and on Spotify. That's Beantown Beatdown. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. And as always, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Go Bees.